Welcome to the Israel Answers series, connecting Israel, the Bible, and you. Join Susan Michael as she explores timely issues and current events from a scriptural perspective to equip the Christian world with a balanced and biblical response. Be sure to subscribe for future episodes, which will ignite your faith and bring the Bible to life in your everyday world. Now, let's join Susan with your Israel Answers.
So we are here again from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and we had just met a new friend. Grace Rapkin is here with us today from the Museum of the Jewish People in Israel. So Grace, thank you for coming on our show today. And, you know, I've known about the museum, and I'm very interested to have you share a little bit about it. So can you tell us where it is and the purpose of it and what's in there?
Absolutely. And thank you, Susan, for inviting us to do the podcast with you today.
Absolutely.
So ANU, Museum of the Jewish People, is located in Tel Aviv, and it's on the campus of Tel Aviv University. We are the largest, most comprehensive Jewish museum in the world.
Wow.
And we're very happy to provide a context for understanding anything about Jewish life, Jewish culture, Jewish religion, and a place that really interprets all of that for people of all faiths and backgrounds and ages. So we welcome everybody to come and experience the museum and find something that's relevant and important to them about and learn about themselves through the exhibitions that we have on view.
Well, I'm curious. So what does ANU mean, A-N-U?
ANU is the Hebrew word for we or us. And the name actually really reflects the inclusive mission of the museum.
Well, all this time, I thought that it was the initials of something because it's spelled in all caps.
Right.
And so it's the Hebrew word, ANU.
It is the Hebrew word, ANU.
So if a Christian tour group wanted to come there, or a Christian visitor wanted to go through the museum, what's in there that they might find just particularly interesting?
Thanks for that question. We've been working really hard in this newest iteration of the museum. The museum has existed since 1978, and it was known then as Beit HaTfutzot, or the Diaspora Museum.
Okay.
And in this new iteration, we've been working on creating specific programming and tour routes that are of interest to Christian and interfaith groups. So, for example, our second floor, which is all about the history of the Jewish people, from biblical times through the establishment of the modern state of Israel and really up to today, has a beautiful timeline for people who want to show or learn more about our shared roots, our shared Judeo-Christian roots. There are specific moments in history that are important, in particular biblical times, and also about creating the modern state, and why it's important that there be a modern state and everything in between.
Well, I think that's really important for a Christian tour group. First of all, much of your history is biblical history, so it will be very helpful for them to see the timeline, and I think they'd find it very, very interesting. But secondly, sometimes there's a disconnect, and there may be a propaganda against Israel that says the people of Israel today are not of the people of the Bible of the past. And so to see that timeline and be able to follow the history through helps a non-Jewish visitor to realize there is a connection. This is the same people. They've just experienced all of this and in other places around the world, but it is the same people, and to connect the dots to them.
And what's really good about illustrating that is we have both artifacts, which can tie directly through physical objects, the existence of the Jewish people in biblical Israel through time. And there's a lot of really wonderful interpretive material that illuminates the history. For people who like interactive exhibitions, there are ways to interact with the history. And also there's a lot of specific information about where Jews have traveled throughout time and how they established communities and a presence in other areas of the world, and how that sort of line of continuity exists from those times, not just in Israel, but in the places where Jews have traveled to through history.
Well, of course, I mean, to study Jewish history, you are studying world history because you have been dispersed all around the world and you have communities in, you know, the farthest corners of the world and everywhere. So the museum must be extremely interesting to go through. I've not gone through it. I've done a virtual tour. I know it's beautiful, it's modern, it's very, very well done. And look forward to seeing it myself. Now, I heard that you have a brand new piece that you've added to a collection. Tell me about that.
We are so excited about our newest acquisition. It is Codex Sassoon, which is the oldest, most complete manuscript of the Old Testament known to exist. It is something that has existed since the 10th century, but has rarely been on public view. And because of this special donation to the museum from our board member, former ambassador to Romania, Alfred Moses, we are able to put it on permanent exhibition so that people can really get up close to it and experience what it looks like, what it feels like in a gallery that was specifically created to interpret its importance to world religion.
Oh, that sounds really very exciting.
Yeah, we're so excited about having it and being able to show it to people.
The Codex Sassoon, it's a what they call a Masoretic text.
Yes.
Can you kind of explain that to us, what that means?
Absolutely. So just a little bit of background first.
Okay.
The tradition of the Bible and Jewish text, or religious text, I should say, had been transmitted orally throughout history. And then we saw it first in written text in scrolls, like the Dead Sea Scrolls that you can visit in the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. The importance of the codex, and the word codex means text, a book, is that this is one of the first extant examples of that text being written in an actual bound book on pages with, you know, side to side pages of it in a manuscript. And we like to think, and we believe, that this was one of the first examples of the translation of that oral tradition into book form, which has taken us to what we see as the written Bible today. So it's an important link in biblical history. What you bring up is the Masoretic text. So because of the importance of ensuring the accuracy of the oral tradition into written text, the Masoretes, these special scribe scholars, their job was to create notation on the manuscript in order to punctuate each word properly so it can be pronounced accurately, and to put in the cantillation, which is the chanting notation, so that it can be chanted accurately, and also to put special notes that they thought were important for us to understand about how this text reflects the oral tradition. So explaining the Masoretic text and interpreting it is an important piece of understanding how the Bible
works. Now, were they Jewish scribes or Christian?
They were Jewish scribes.
Oh.
Yes, they were specifically specialists in transcribing.
Very good. And so this is really an important find and an important acquisition. And it really shows that our text that we are translating from today, it helps to verify their accuracy, that they haven't changed.
Right.
It hasn't been corrupted over the centuries. And to have that on display really shores up the Christian Bible and the Hebrew Bible that
and
it is.
And what's amazing is you can get close enough to the Bible in the case that you can see the actual marks as they exist from, you know, hundreds of years ago. The other thing that's really good for people who are specifically interested in Bible scholarship is that we've digitized each page of the Bible, the Codex. And there's a console that's in the gallery itself where you can flip through or study, if that's what you prefer, some of the digital text and get really close up and look at what the Codex has to offer every page.
Well, I know that you all opened right before COVID. And now you have the war and tourism is really low. So I'm sure it's been a very difficult launching of the museum. But as tourism does pick up, I know we have been recommending this museum to our groups. Yes, to stop
Thank
by
you.
There, either on their way from the airport or on their way to the airport as kind of a wrap up. You know, after their tour
right.
to go there and see there. But is there anything else in the museum you want to discuss? Or,
well, just one last note about the Codex. The way it got to Israel was very interesting.
Uh-huh.
It traveled to Israel on a special El Al flight, and the El Al pilots felt that they were so privileged to be traveling with this incredible document, important document, that they had it in the cockpit with them.
Oh, is that right?
On the way over.
Oh.
And it traveled to Israel on October 5th.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was offloaded, and the gallery where we were supposed to have it on display was due to open on October 11th.
Oh.
So it's an amazing story that, you know, we're still waiting to tell and, you know, let people know that the Codex will be on view for them to experience in person.
Yes.
So, and one last note for those people who are interested in coming to the museum on Friday, this Friday, February 23rd, we're opening a special exhibition about October 7th.
Okay.
It's an art exhibition that has works of art from contemporary artists who are expressing the trauma and the feelings that they have about October 7th. The name of the exhibition is October 7th. And it's a way we feel of processing the trauma and also healing. And so for people who are interested in coming to the museum, I would definitely recommend that be one of their stops as well.
Yes, and it rightfully so should be in the museum because it's a pivotal moment in Jewish history and because of Israel. And so it will stay there. It will not be a temporary exhibit.
Yeah, it's going to be another milestone on our history timeline.
Yeah, we were just talking this morning that October the 7th is a major shift. It's a major, Israel will never be the same. And so rightfully so, you should have a permanent exhibit about it.
Yeah, and we really felt like we needed to get this up as soon as we could.
Yes.
To enable any visitors who start coming to Israel, which hopefully will be coming very soon, will have an opportunity to experience that and to be part of the processing mm-hmm. of what happened on October 7th with us.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Grace, you are the North American marketing and sales manager. So you're based in the United States.
I am.
Okay.
I am. I've been with the museum for about 7 years now.
Okay.
It's been my great honor
to
be working to help bring people to experience the museum in person. The museum opened in March of the new iteration of the museum opened in March of 2021 mm-hmm. after a 10-year renovation.
10-year renovation.
It was really taking everything down to the studs
yes.
and redoing the whole museum with this new, more inclusive
yes.
mission and exhibitions. So for people who have been to the museum before in its older iteration, this is a completely new
different.
Place. So, and I hope we'll be able to invite you and host you.
Yes, I look forward to seeing it.
To come
and we will recommend it to our our groups, our Christian groups to come.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Grace, very much. It's been nice talking to you today.
Same here.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Out of Zion with Susan Michael. Be sure to subscribe to Out of Zion now on Apple Podcasts, cpnshows.com, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen and learn. Out of Zion with Susan Michael is a production of ICEJ USA, all rights reserved.